Welcome in to the Other Football Podcast. Chris Chapman rolling with you here on a Thursday evening, October the 25th, from beautiful and fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Carson Merck, Thomas Viola also joining me today. And
to the hall, my friend.
Yeah, we're finally in very, very, we were trending from super hot to cool enough, and now we're really like low 80s. This is beautiful nice. Time.
Yeah, this is a great time of year, and I'm glad that the weather finally figured itself out, because it was really hot for all of September, yeah. And my power bill showed it. And now it's finally cooling off, and it's good because the weather got cold for like a weekend where it was like in the 50s. I'm mm-hmm. like, no, this can't be happening.
Too fast.
Yeah. You drop 45 degrees in 2 weeks and you're not liking that. But anyway, it is the Other Football Podcast. Chris Chapman, Carson Merck, Thomas Viola here on the LV Sports Network. And coming soon, I know we keep promising it, but I think all the legwork's been done. We're just waiting on iTunes approval, and
it's a miracle.
I think that's a formality, and I think we will be up on iTunes. So hopefully, from what I was told, all the old episodes will archive on iTunes as well. So
that's lovely.
You can go back and listen to everything that
all of our correct predictions.
Yeah, and if you hate us, you can tweet at us where?
At Other F-Ball Pod.
We actually have a Twitter account.
Yeah, we do.
Look
yeah.
at that.
Yeah, about that? We're moving up in the world.
We are.
We're like the Greg Berhalter of soccer podcasts.
Someone's having absolutely no talent or skill that discerns you from the rest of the pack, but somehow moving forward.
Well, that's just it. That's exactly what we are. We have no talent. We have no skill, but somehow we're like on the verge of becoming. You know what? I think, to be perfectly honest with you, that's a perfect analogy, because
it's not bad.
We are essentially taking over the national team, and
which is going to make me do some really reflective thinking on the drive home today.
Well, you know, and this is now the third week that Greg, if I could freaking speak right, third week now that Greg Berhalter's name has been mentioned. Still no official word, but before the show, you guys were kind of talking about an interesting take by Alexi Lalas, and why don't you go ahead, Carson, and tell us what that.
Yeah, so he is, as we know, full of hot takes typically, and
he is Mr. Hot Take.
Yes, I think it might be the red hair that lends to the hot takes. But
very, very plausible.
He's like the heat miser, but so his take.
Good reference there.
You're Without a Santa Claus was my jam.
Yeah,
but in essence, the take is that we assume Pep Guardiola is a better manager than Greg Berhalter because of where he manages and where he's managed. He was kind of arguing that, again, I don't want to slander him and say that he was saying Berhalter was better. He was saying we assume Guardiola is better because of the level.
Could it have anything? It can't possibly have anything to do with the, you know, number of Champions League titles one has versus the other.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those where I understand not wanting to completely cave to, we'll say, conventional thinking, but it's one where it's like, there's a reason things are the way they are.
Look,
in sports.
I'm a big fan of Alexi Lalas.
As am I. We share a birthday.
This is a bad take.
Yeah, it's not a good. And a lot of people on Twitter were saying this is a really bad take. Like, okay, why not? You know, why is LeBron James so good? He plays in the NBA, but, you know, somebody's playing in the YMCA league. Why is he not as good? So it was kind of making a, you know, kind of outlandish argument, in my opinion, well, which he's been known to do.
What I don't understand is when he says has gotten all the breaks and opportunities, how do I'm someone who believes you create your own opportunities. Yeah, you know what? There's that rare case where a guy lucks into something, but for the most part, Pep Guardiola, he got there because he was good at what he did.
Yeah, and he was a great player. He played for Barcelona for a while, right?
You know, it's not like they just handed a guy a job. I mean, everywhere he's been, he's had success.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's in Germany, if it's in Spain, and now in England, obviously. It's
a weird take.
And yeah, it is. And I guess I would have more, what's the word I'm looking for? I would maybe at least see the argument he was making if he had said, Well, he's always had the best players in the
and
world.
He did mention that. Like, look who he's coaching.
But still, you have to be able to manage all those guys. And I mean, look at perfect example. Pep is at City. Look at the guy across town.
Yeah.
That guy has
almost came to fisticuffs this weekend.
Well, that was fantastic. But
that was outstanding.
He has basically an open checkbook, although now United's like, we're not going to just let you buy whatever you want. But for 2 years, he's gone out and pretty much bought whoever he's wanted. Mm-hmm. And
Even look at Real Madrid. So yeah, you have
the struggles
Zidane
they're having.
He's gone, and then, you know, Lopetegui's in there, and they're not doing well. It's it's a great team for this job.
I think they are. And again, long way to go. Still 30 games, but Real Madrid right now would miss playing in Europe.
Yeah,
think about that. So
look,
so.
Joel Soria from he's a really great Earthquakes reporter. He made a really good point this week. He said he tweeted, just for comparison's sake, I was told that Matias Almeida, the new Earthquakes coach, signed a 4-year contract with the Earthquakes and is set to make $1.5 million annually. That's more than Juan Carlos Osorio's $1.2 million with El Tri, and probably right up there with what Tata Martino made at Atlanta. Tata's new contract with Mexico, of course, $2.3 million over $2.3 million annually, 6 years. Do you guys really see the U.S. outspending any of those figures for the new coach there?
You have to pay the national team coach more than what you're paying an MLS coach.
Do you?
Absolutely. I think it's a lot more of a responsibility to coach you. You know,
it is.
But here's the other thing, though. Like, just to go back to Lawless's point, Beerhalter coached Columbus. What have they done?
Yeah. Nothing. They've lost all enough support to be at risk of moving and needed a social media campaign to stay in Columbus.
And we mentioned it before. I think there was a list of six guys that had reached the 150 match requirement, whatever it was, and he was last on the winning percentage of the six guys possible.
Yeah, so he's had opportunity.
Yeah.
He's shown he's just an average coach. He's an average guy, and
it's Alexi wanting to be, when we see it in any sport, I always go back to like Brown's draft picks of trying to be the smartest guy in the room. Like, everyone thinks this guy's the best, but, you know, what if they look at, it's like flipping it upside down. Well, what if we look at it this way?
It's very contrarian.
Yeah.
And look, I like Alexi just like you guys do, but I can't stand the, I'm going to say something ridiculous just because everyone else is saying something else. Like, but that's what he does.
I don't think it's so much the Skip Bayless effect as it is just him trying to have the U.S. national team's back.
Well, Skip Bayless is on a different planet.
He is. But my point here is that I don't think that Alexi is trying to do that. I think Alexi is just trying to have the back of whoever gets the job. Because, I mean, this man is very close with the national team for obvious reasons. I don't blame him at all for this. But, I mean, let's see if we can get him on the show maybe and really ask him about it. But at the end of the day, what you really have to do is take a look at the remaining candidates for this job. Maybe David Moyes. At the end of the day, you have to take a hard look in the mirror and say, how are we really better off than we were a year ago? What have we learned? And it's clear the answer is nothing so far. Yeah. At this point, why not just make Sarakin the head coach? He's already been the head coach longer than Arena.
Yeah.
He's better than any of the talent that you're looking for. He's had more success than any of the guys that you're looking
at. That's the thing. They have wasted 54 weeks.
Yep.
Because it's been 54 weeks since they lost that game to Trinidad and Tobago. It was, what, October 10th, October 11th, something
somewhere
like that.
There, yeah.
So to lose that game and then still basically be where you're at today, you have accomplished absolutely nothing other than proving that you're completely inept.
Yeah.
And this doesn't fall on – and I feel bad for the guy who's managing – right, and I feel bad for all the guys who are candidates because I'm sure they all want to know and move on. David Moyes, I joked, but he's probably the best candidate for the job.
That's
which is sad. Yeah, we couldn't get someone better than that.
Well, when you mentioned it, I honestly like had a happy flashback. Like, remember when we were mad that it was going to be David Moyes? And
yeah, because
like,
we thought, oh, well, they'll have
so
better candidates.
So many options.
Yeah. I mean, you mean to tell me you can't go find one of the guys who managed the Brazilian national team?
Yeah.
The fact that we couldn't get Tata is a disgrace.
Apparently his English wasn't good enough, which is ridiculous to even have that requirement. Oh, well, you need to speak good English. Well, that's ridiculous.
Hang on.
Like, how much Korean did Gus Hiddink speak?
Whoa, that's different story.
Why is it a different story?
It's the Korean national team, who cares?
And the Korean national team's made a semifinals in the World Cup.
They have.
We haven't.
But you should at least be able to speak. Like you should be able to speak the language that your players are speaking.
He speaks enough English to manage an MLS.
That's the thing. I don't disagree.
He speaks more English than Gus Hiddink speaks Korean.
My argument here is that it's not an invalid requirement. That being said, I think Tata should have accepted that Tata was above whatever the requirement should have been.
And you guys are really young, but the first national team coach I remember was Bora Milutinovic, who was Croatian, I think. I don't know how good his English was. And he was the coach when they went to the freaking when they host the World Cup.
Yeah.
So to think in 24 years we've gone backwards, that now we're requiring guys to speak English, that's ridiculous. It's an asinine. If a guy can manage, it doesn't matter what language he speaks. I don't care. I don't care where he's from. As long as he can get the job done and get the U.S. in the World Cup, make him competitive, not get embarrassed by Trinidad and Tobago. Like, to me, that's the worst part. You're just okay with being average. There's no dire push or urgency to go out and find the best. Like I said, I mean, there's guys who've coached the Italian national team who are out of jobs. Right, there's guys who've coached Brazil. There's guys who've coached Argentina. You mean to tell me that those guys wouldn't be leaps and bounds ahead of Greg Berhalter?
Yeah, my thing is twofold, I guess. Since that loss of Trinidad and Tobago, there was, A, the overall generally promise of we're cleaning house, we're completely wiping this down, and we're getting new people in, which they haven't.
Nope.
There's honestly been no transparency. Mm-hmm. We hear this, you know, need to speak English, 150 matches in MLS. But these are all, like, leaks and rumors. None of these, like, I understand you don't, just based on negotiations, like that, you don't come out and say, hey, these are our requirements. Apply, click on this link at Indeed.com.
Cameroon did that.
That's not
good. I applied for the Cameroon national team job. True story. I did send a resume in.
But you can at least.
Did you at least get a callback?
I did not get a callback.
But at least you can, without being completely 100% transparent, you can at least say, okay, we've narrowed it down to 5 people. We've narrowed it down to 3 people. These are kind of. And Ernie Stewart has kind of done that a tiny bit lately, but not enough to. For fans to be like, okay, at least we see what they're looking at.
Look, we've seen that nothing is changing with this team, that they learned nothing from this World Cup debacle.
Yeah.
And what do we even do at this point?
Well, I will say this. I think qualifying will start in the spring, March.
Yep.
U.S. will not be in that bottom tier of qualifying.
Hopefully we have a manager by that point.
Well, yeah. that's what I'm saying, right?
Remember when October was going to be when we announced our manager?
Yeah. And now we're next week will be in November. Jeez. But like,
time flies when your life's going nowhere.
Qualifying starts in March.
Yeah.
The first Asian playoff games will begin to get into their groups. The first CONCACAF games will begin where Virgin Islands will play.
Stay tuned. Might be on that team by then.
British Virgin Islands, right? And here's the thing, CONCACAF I think is so bad, and Costa Rica their window is kind of closing because those guys, Joel Campbell, Navas, Brian Ruiz, those guys are all pushing 30s now. So those guys are and I don't know what they've got in the pipeline, but this is kind of like a golden generation for Costa Rica. They got smashed in the World Cup. Honduras didn't even qualify. Mexico's going to be really good. They've got a lot of really good young players coming up, but it could be a situation where no matter who the manager is, the U.S. qualifies by default just because CONCACAF is so bad. And I know we all assume that before, but there's a lot more talent that will be on the U.S. national team this go-around than what was on it last go around.
There is, but we still need a manager. At what point do you just say, you know what, Sarakin's been here a year and a half already because we're almost to that point.
They should give him the job.
Yeah.
Just do it. You know what? I take him over Bearhalter.
Yeah.
He's already got the experience.
And these friendlies coming up, I think they're early in mid-November. I could be wrong.
Just what we need. More international break, right?
We have England and Italy. And these were supposed to be, when they dropped that initial timeline, the thought was we'll have a manager a couple months ahead of that. He'll be able to implement a system, get the squad he wants in there, and then these will be his first two matches as a measuring stick.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're potentially 2 weeks, 3 weeks away from those, and we have no clue who the manager is. They're saying now, even if they hire Berhalter, he probably wouldn't manage those matches. Sarakin would still manage those matches. He would be, like, in the stands. So I'm like,
this is a nightmare.
Man, it's bad.
You know, like, just give the job to Sarakin. I mean, he's already built relationships with all these guys. He understands what their strengths and weaknesses are. You know, he's got guys like Josh Sargent who scored a goal in the last friendly that they played. Mm-hmm. So,
and for Werder Bremen.
The only thing you have to work it into the contract, if whoever gets the job, it doesn't matter, clause 1A, Michael Bradley is no longer allowed to play on the U.S. national team.
What if they just hire Michael Bradley?
That would be legendary. Oh,
man. Player manager? He would be like one of the wasn't Pele player manager for the New York Cosmos way back?
That sounds right.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. So I want to switch gears. Other football podcasts. I know I always say that. I want to switch gears, but I don't know if you guys saw this story, but tomorrow, and it's taking place. There's a meeting taking place of all places in Rwanda.
Rwanda?
No. But it's the 37 people are getting together, and it's FIFA Council. And on the agenda, they want to revamp the Club World Cup. They want to make the Nations League a global thing. And
I'm kind of in for that.
Wait a minute, but involved in that is this Relevant, the company that does the International Champions Cup, which takes place in the U.S. But they're saying that UEFA may stage a walkout.
Good.
They're not happy about this because they want to expand the Club World Cup to like 24 teams. But the problem is they want to do it right at the same time that the European Championships will be going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, UEFA already made concessions to FIFA with this stupid World Cup that's going to be in Qatar in, 4 years now?
Yeah.
Where basically the leagues are going to stop playing for a month and a half. I mean, we talk about an international break.
That's going to be an international sabbatical.
And because...
then you have to come back and just start playing again mid-season. Yeah. Well,
and how about the guys who play for clubs that don't qualify for the World Cup? Like Mohamed Salah. Let's hypothetically say Egypt. Because qualifying in Africa is hard.
Yeah.
So let's say that they don't qualify. If I'm Liverpool and I've got Mo Salah sitting for a month and a half, why? Because they had to have the stupid World Cup in Qatar. But anyway, that's another story.
That's not even something to think about. Like, you think about all the guys that are coming. I mean, what happens if Tottenham is having, mind you, hypothetical, of course, because this is never going to happen. But mind you, Tottenham's having a really great season. Harry Kane's in great form. They're top of the table, running away with it like Manchester City last year. Harry Kane gets hurt in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Out for the rest of the season.
What do they do about the Champions League?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're going to have Red Star Belgrade, are they going to be the Champions League winners? Because they're going to be them and Young Boys are the only club in it.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually down for that one.
Yeah, Switzerland's pretty good, so maybe Young Boys wouldn't have as many guys. But
yeah.
You know, maybe you get like Norway qualifies and Rosenborg wins the Champions League. Rosenborg against Red Star in the Champions League final.
I'd watch that game.
Ake Athens in the against maybe Galatasaray.
Yeah.
What about Videoton?
Videoton from Hungary. You know that's my club. Yeah. Videoton.
I'm just picturing this FIFA
PSG
council.
Will still be eliminated in the quarterfinals.
I'm just picturing this FIFA council as like the Jedi council with like Mace Windu and all.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And somebody's a hologram in the middle. It's like Sepp Blatter is the hologram in the middle.
Oh my gosh, yeah, because he's still corrupt and he's still.
I mean, have you seen their actual boardroom? It looks straight out of
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, it looks. I can't believe I'm drawing. By the way, this movie.
Just this note, Videoton today, they beat PAOK.
I know. I was watching that game.
It was on TV. You watched it?
No.
Oh, on the stream. Oh,
I did not watch that game.
Oh, you know what?
No one watched that game.
I want to know where this club is from. Jablonec. They played Astana. I think Astana is I can't remember where Astana is. Belarus, maybe? No, it's Kazakhstan. But Jablonec, that might be a Polish club. I don't know. But yeah, so Videoton gets the big win today. But anyway, so this nation's this FIFA Council.
Doctor Strangelove. That's the movie I was thinking of.
That's what their boardroom
That's
looks
what
like?
Their boardroom looks really? Hang on, nice. Hang on.
Really?
Okay, so you see the boardroom in the bottom there?
Oh yes. It's
that's
like
what it looks like.
Oh my nice. Gosh, that's incredible. Now,
there was actually a ride at an amusement park back in Ohio that looked like that. They called it the Rotor.
And you would get stuck to the wall.
The wall yep. And the floor dropped yep. out.
Yep. Oh, I got sick on that thing once.
I think I got sick on it a couple times. Boardroom. Nice. Yeah.
They had it at Great Adventure. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. They tell me that's not modeled after the
yeah, someone's a big fan of Peter Sellers.
As a matter of fact, here they are side by side.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. Awesome. We got to tweet that out. That's great.
I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you. Tweet it out from.
So they want to do a 24-team World Cup, World Club Cup. Do it every 4 years starting in 2021. And he also proposes a mini World Cup every. This is Gianni Infantino, who is, I guess, the architect behind making the Champions League what it is today. But he wants to do a mini World Cup where they take the final eight clubs that were in the World Cup or from different confederations, however they secure that. But they want to do a joint venture with FIFA. And there's an issue with money involved. And UEFA is obviously not happy about that because I'm sure that's really what it's all about. They want to make sure they get their cut.
Yeah.
I mean, on paper, it sounds like a good idea. Right? A World Club Cup where you get the 24 best clubs on the planet. You take, you know, Gamba Osaka from Japan and Kashima Antlers and Daewoo from Korea, and they're playing against Al Ahly from Saudi Arabia, and you have Real Madrid in there and Boca Juniors. But
Toronto FC.
Las Vegas Lights.
Yes.
But I just think it's too much.
That because you mentioned the guy who created or molded the Champions League. What is that a situation of you created something and you feel like you're this great creator of everything? Like, oh, well, this worked for me, so I'm going to create five other tournaments that are great. So
I'm kind of down for the Nations League to expand to the world instead of just Europe
because you want to see Fiji against Brazil in the Nations League first round
a little bit.
although if they modeled it like the Nations League is,
I want to see if US gets Group A or Group B, and I want to see them play against some real talent in some other competitions because we're playing in the Gold Cup this coming year instead of the Copa America.
Yeah,
I would be all in favor of anything that gets the United States more meaningful games against real competition.
Because if you look, was it last year or the year before that we won the Gold Cup?
Mm-hmm.
And then poop the bed in qualifying. So
well, yeah, they lost to Jamaica in the semifinals, right?
No, they
won it all.
We beat Jamaica.
Yeah,
we beat
Jamaica in the final. They broke Andre Blake's hand.
Yeah,
when the saves by Dre.
I was at the game.
That was what. But Levi. Didn't they lose to Mexico in the playoff?
No,
Mexico
was,
went
that,
to the Confederations
yeah, that was,
Cup.
That was the Confederations Cup playoff.
Okay,
different.
All right,
but at some point you have to ask if UEFA just basically says we're tired of FIFA shit. At what point do they just say, you know what, we no longer support the 2022 World Cup?
That would be outstanding if they're just like, we're gone.
Yeah.
Well, and that has the ability to really send the whole thing into disarray.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing we know about FIFA.
They love disarray.
Yep.
Well, the
and money.
I think, yeah, well, money probably more than disarray. But
and this would cost them so much money.
I think.
You know who would really panic? Fox.
Oh yeah. As if the US not qualifying for the World Cup this time around wasn't bad enough. If UEFA was like, yeah, screw you, FIFA, do the World Cup without Germany and France and Spain.
Although if UEFA doesn't go to the World Cup, we have a really good chance to win it.
At least qualify.
Well, let's pump the brakes.
Like, we could win it at that point.
They'd still have to get through Brazil And at this rate, I don't even think they would beat Japan or South Korea the way they played in the last qualifying round. So
not wrong. He's not wrong.
You know, they may have a good chance to get out of the group, Let's pump the brakes on them winning. I don't even know if they.
If it goes the same way this one did, we could take a Croatia route where, like, if the bracket falls just right and we only have to play one real game against a major team like that,
yeah,
could be done.
Hey, look, and Russia
could
had
be
a,
done.
Russia had a pretty good World Cup.
Yeah,
true.
And we're better than Russia. The talent on this team that will be there
the
in 2022.
The talent is there. The problem is putting them together to form a team.
Yeah.
Then again, Russia was playing on home soil.
True.
They had the benefit of beating Spain, who fired their coach, they fired their coach, right?
Yeah.
Right the night before the World Cup started.
He went to go coach Real.
What a mistake that was. Yeah, because we'll talk about that guy a little bit later. But I'm not sure. And now they're saying, I guess the UEFA is denying that they're going to do a walkout, but the sources are saying that. So I like the idea of the 24-team Club World Cup. I don't like it coinciding with the European Championships. I mean, I don't know when you would do it, but I don't know. I think the idea of it sounds cool on paper, but
I think at some point you have to ask yourself, it's the same thing, like, do we need a Thursday night football game?
Well, and the big problem, I think, some of these...
We got Maction on right now.
Yeah,
studio.
We got Western Michigan and Toledo.
Yeah, why are we not watching the Brock Osweiler revenge game?
Because we're all
yeah.
about the Maction here.
Yeah. But the other issue is there's a lot of people who think that doing what FIFA would like to do is going to just widen the gap between the big clubs and the small clubs, and it's going to come at the expense of the small clubs. I mean, if you're a club like West Ham, you don't want this. You don't want Liverpool and Man United and Man City and Chelsea to get even more powerful and more money, because all that does is that hurts your league. I mean, as it is, I don't know if we're ever going to see another Leicester again. I'd hope so. I'd love to see something like that.
For sure.
You know, Brighton comes out of nowhere to win the Premier League.
Newcastle.
Hopefully not before
Newcastle's
Liverpool.
Newcastle's about to turn it around.
That's a hot take.
But, I like that hot take.
But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, and maybe next week we'll have a little more on this to see exactly
if they walked out or not.
If they did walk out, yeah, because I think it's kind of funny to think that UEFA and FIFA could be at odds, right? Like, screw you guys.
I mean,
I'm just picturing that.
That relationship's been tenuous.
Yeah, I'm picturing these European guys dropping Public Enemy, Fight the Power.
Yes,
and just walking out like
throwing
their hats on backwards, Fight the Power.
All right, so let's move on to what transpired in the Champions League these last couple days.
Some interesting things.
There definitely were some interesting things, and it was match day 3. Bayern got back on track. They had no problem with AEK. But I think the surprise in that group, Ajax beat Benfica. And now Ajax, I think, is actually leading that group because they have the draw with Munich, and actually they are identical points, goal differential, goals against, goals for, same exact record, 2 wins, 1 draw. But I think those two clubs are positioning themselves in a position to be able to get through, which I'm a little bit surprised because Ajax is very young. They have Kluivert.
Yeah.
And I was expecting Benfica to put up a little bit more of a fight. The Portuguese champs, I think they won the league last year.
Yeah, I think we were all
on the Benfica bandwagon. Not beating Munich, but I think we all had Benfica getting through.
I think we all for sure had Bayern, and then I think we were saying either you it was a pick 'em between them. But I think maybe we leaned Benfica. I want to say I leaned Ajax, but I think I'm just saying that because they're top of the table right now.
Maybe you did. Yeah, I mean, I know you're a big Kluivert guy. So
it's on iTunes. Shout out to the other football podcast.
All right. So some of the other matches from Tuesday, I think a bit of a shocker. Real Madrid struggled with Pleasant, and Pleasant had opportunities.
There's nothing pleasant about struggling with them.
No, but the thing is, I think what you look at is you look at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
They sit 7th in La Liga. They barely beat Pleasant. I think they're going to get through because they have a group that really isn't that good. Roma right now is the other team that's pushing them, but they beat Roma. CSK Moscow's terrible. Although CSK Moscow beat Real Madrid. So I think the group is kind of sorting itself out. But what is wrong with Real Madrid? Like, could losing Cristiano Ronaldo and Zidane be that devastating that you go from the best team in Europe to 7th in La Liga in a matter of 4 or 5 months?
I don't know if it's primarily that, and then
yeah, I mean, you lose what looks. I don't want to call him one of the best managers because we've only seen him at Real, but you lose a guy who did really, really well as a manager and possibly the best player on the planet. Is that drop really that shocking? I mean, I think it's shocking to us because we're used to Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But I think they asked, how do you replace Ronaldo, and decided on Gareth Bale will do, and it's not working out.
Yeah.
So I think it's more just missteps that are causing them to be here than it is really just a shocking fall from grace.
I would say it would almost be, for me, 90% or almost 85% losing Zidane and Cristiano Ronaldo, and then 15% complacency, I guess. Of,
yeah.
Well, did you guys? We all said, we just assume they'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And
did you guys happen to see the video from the training session where Sergio Ramos, douche, got bumped, and he took the ball and he just freaking booted it up into the stands and he started yelling and screaming at his teammate? There's some problems there, and I think, surprisingly, La Liga has been fairly competitive. Sevilla were the leaders last week. They got beat by Barcelona, but you look at the top five.
Especially now that Messi's out.
Well, yeah, but you look at the top five in La Liga, and three of them are not teams you would have expected to be up there. I mean, Barcelona, obviously, I think everyone picked them to win the league. I think we expected them to be up there. But the other club that plays in Barcelona, Espanyol, they're second in the league. And they're level with Alaves.
I can't name one player on Espanyol.
I couldn't either. I got to go with FIFA 19 and play with Espanyol.
This just goes to show how unwatchable La Liga is.
And I went by their stadium when I was in Barcelona, and it's on the outskirts of the city. But it from what I understand, they're a club that has a great youth system.
Yeah.
But then traditionally they have sold a lot of these guys off to basically make money. Maybe things have changed, but they always are in the top half, but they're always like ninth or tenth. They never are a club where you're like, oh, second. Espanyol.
Right. Yeah,
Espanyol's competing for Europe. No, usually they finish ninth, like 50 points behind the winner. But Alaves, a bit of a shock. Sevilla, I don't know if they're a shock that they're in the top four, but Atletico fifth and Real Madrid seventh, I think that's... it's a bit shocking.
It's weird times.
And I mean, granted, they've only played 9 games. They got a bunch more to go. And things, I think, as the season goes on, things will straighten themselves out. But I would like to see Espanyol and Alaves stay up there.
I'm down.
I mean, if you told me after 10 weeks that Espanyol was the leader in La Liga, I'd say my reaction to that would be, that's fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. It's people complain about MLS having too much parity. This at least is parity stopping in and saying hello in La Liga. I mean, like you said, a lot of times the longer something drags out, it tends to, you know, level out and kind of adjust itself. But no, I have no issue. We mentioned last week, none of us really have a rooting interest in La Liga at all. So
no.
For all I care, Espanyol could win the league.
Just make it entertaining.
Yeah.
So back to the Champions League, Juventus, Man United. What a joke the first half was for United. They played better in the second half, but They came out, and you know what it was? Mourinho basically went out there and tried not to get embarrassed. And that's what happened.
Almost as embarrassing as having to walk part of the way to the stadium when the bus got...
What was that story?
The bus got stuck in traffic, ironically, because he parks the bus all the time. And they said he just got out and walked. And somebody tweeted, they're like, didn't anybody driving past him to say, like, wow, that looks like Jose Mourinho walking? Or did they see him and they're like, yeah, I'm not picking that guy up.
Nope.
I had a buddy, again, like I saw highlights of it. I didn't watch the full match, but I saw highlights and kind of got a vibe from Twitter that, you know, the first half was just abysmal. They just completely parked the bus. And I had Man United fans on my Twitter. They were like, we played so well. We played inspired soccer. And I was like, that's not at all what I'm hearing. So maybe, as we always talk about on here, how can people support him? People are still apparently blindly like, we look good.
They played better
in the second half. In the second half.
But the first half, they didn't even try.
No.
Like, they were completely outclassed. And I think they did play better in the second half, and that's good. But you're playing in front of your home fans.
And Sir Alex Ferguson was there, I think.
And that guy's got to be... And look, can't stand United, but Alex Ferguson's not a terrible guy.
No, not at all.
And he must be trying so hard to bite his lip and not say what he really feels, because Mourinho has run his club into the ground.
Yeah.
And look, they're not a joke. But they are a joke.
Tent in the table.
But yeah, but that's exactly it. Like, they're not going to get relegated, but they are a joke.
Yeah.
And it begins and ends with the guy running the club.
Yeah. But when he ran after that Chelsea assistant.
Oh my God.
Because it took him a second to register. If anyone didn't see it, the videos easily found on Twitter that a Chelsea assistant, when they equalized late, ran in front of the bench. And he, like, runs past him, and Jose Mourinho, there's, like, a second where he doesn't do anything. Then all of a sudden he's like, wait a second, and jumps up and tried to throw hands a little bit. And he said the guy apologized. But, yeah, it's bad. None of us are Man United supporters, so I don't really care if they're good or bad. But it's an iconic club. If they're good, it's kind of better for soccer. But
well, now they have the return leg in Turin. And I think United, for all the fun we poke at them, I think they're going to get through.
Yeah, this group.
Because Valencia is not very good. Valencia drew on the road in Switzerland.
But we got the goal from the bat.
Yes.
Mitchie.
But Young Boys gets a draw with Valencia. Valencia is not very good.
No.
They're struggling in La Liga as well. I think they're like 15th or 16th in the league, which, again, not set up perfectly for United. Yeah, Valencia 14th, minus one goal differential in La Liga. So it's set up nicely for United, I think, to get through, as long as they don't get blasted. I think the key for them, as long as you draw or beat Valencia,
yeah,
I think you'll be fine. Because right now you're at 4 points. Obviously, Juventus is going to win the league.
If Everton goes out and wins this week, does Mourinho get fired?
No.
No.
Because they're going to say, look, we're in position to qualify for the knockout stage of the Champions League. We don't want to disrupt it. I thought if they had got blasted by Chelsea and got blasted by Juventus, that would have been it.
Yeah.
Could have been.
But as it is, I'm wrong.
Like you said, they played not to get embarrassed. He knew that a 1-0 loss wouldn't cost him his job, whereas
but
a 4-0 loss
4-0,
was.
Yeah. Which is probably what may happen. That may happen in Turin. Mm-hmm. They may get blasted 4-0.
And definitely fans, that's exactly what they love to see. Good old defensive
exactly.
Parking of the bus.
At home.
Yeah.
In the Champions
it's
League.
It's a shame.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, if I was a United supporter, I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
Because this is a club that they shouldn't be 10th.
No.
And with the money they spent, they should be beating Valencia and competing with Juventus. But that's what they want. Power to them.
Yep.
Match day on Wednesday, yesterday, I thought there were some pretty good games. Oh, the one more game on Tuesday that I thought was really good was Hoffenheim and Lyon.
Yeah.
3-3 final. I thought it was the best game of the Champions League so far.
I agree.
Hoffenheim was down 3-2. They actually were up 1-0. I think then Lyon scored two goals to take a 2-1 lead. Hoffenheim drew level. Lyon then scored the third goal. And then I think it was in stoppage time.
Maybe a minute into stoppage time?
90 plus 2. So, yeah. So, actually, Lyon took the 1-0 lead. And then Kramaric, who's a fantastic player, he actually gave them the lead 2-1. Hoffenheim then, or Lyon, scored the next two goals, and then it was
won by Memphis Depay.
Yes, the third goal was scored by Memphis, but it was a great game. And Hoffenheim they got some points now in the group, and I think that group in general, though, I think it's looking like Lyon and City, because City rocked Shakhtar
Donetsk,
and Hoffenheim has 2 points in the group, but they need to beat Lyon, and I think in order to have a chance to get through. Because I don't think Lyon will beat City a second time.
That'd be outstanding if they did.
Oh, it would be. I would love to see City not advance. Like, to me,
that'd be crazy.
But it's weird. It puts me in a weird situation because I want to see all the English clubs do well.
Yeah.
But yet I don't want to see United get through. But I think they will get through. So I'd rather if it's going to happen, I want City or United to one of them to not go through. I think both of them go through.
I agree.
The club I don't think is going to go through is Spurs.
I would also agree with that one.
Now, I will say, I watched the highlights. I didn't get to watch the game. I thought they got screwed. Their first goal?
Yeah.
I don't think there was an offsides there.
I didn't think so. I watched a little bit of the match, all the highlights, and I don't think there was, but I didn't think it was egregious. that they called it.
Well, he didn't play the ball either. He didn't attempt to play the ball, and I didn't think. I thought, it's one of those things where I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm not a ref.
Yeah.
I'm not an official, but in my opinion, Spurs got screwed. They should have won that game.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. But in that group, Inter Barcelona, Barca shows why they are the class of that group.
With Messi in the crowd.
Yeah, they beat Inter. And I knew someone who had Inter getting a goal plus one in that game. And when Barcelona scored that late goal,
they were probably not very pleased with it at all.
No, they were not. But Barca does take care of business there. My club, Liverpool, zero issues with Red Star Belgrade. The boring match was Schalke and Galatasaray. Schalke and Galatasaray, no score in that one. Porto beats Lokomotiv. But Napoli-PSG.
That was a good one.
It was a good one. What is going on with PSG?
I don't know.
PSG could have every great player. They could field the team with, forget Messi, Neymar, Suarez. They could have Messi, Neymar, Ronaldo, and they would find a way to choke away a Champions League.
Well, the other thing is they don't get Cavani involved at all. And Neymar, he's such an unlikable guy. He really is.
This team is so loaded with talent, and they're going to do nothing with it, as they always do. They can beat up the French league all they want, but they never win in Europe.
Neymar, he had one just sick move. I think he set up Mbappe, but Mbappe missed. But that was a good match back and forth. And, yeah, PSG definitely loaded, but there was a really good comparison. I can't remember who made it, but they said when Neymar went to PSG, he wanted to be the star and control the team on his own. Kyrie Irving leaves the Cavs to go to Boston, take over the team, lead for his own. With PSG, Mbappe's kind of, taking the title. Jason Tatum kind of taking the title from Kyrie. So,
well, and they were rescued. Di Maria scores the goal late.
Beautiful goal.
Yeah, it was to get the draw. But they're actually, I think, third in the standings in that group. Liverpool, actually, I think they're level with Napoli. Liverpool leads, and Liverpool, if they beat Red Star and we get another result like the PSG-Napoli, I think Liverpool is going to be safe, even though I think they will lose in Paris. I do think they'll beat Napoli at Anfield. So I think they'll be safe. I think the draw yesterday was really good for Liverpool because it put them on top of the group, and they have the two road games, though. They got to go to Belgrade, but then they're on the road at PSG, but they finish.
And back at home.
Back at home in a game that I think they will need to win to get through just to make it,
decisive.
But I think they'll be fine.
Was their win in Champions League the one that Salah broke the record for fastest?
50 goals. 50 goals for Liverpool. For Liverpool, 50 goals.
Yeah, in 65 matches, I think.
He's the fastest ever to do that.
That is a lot of goals and not a lot of matches.
And that's the thing. A lot of people don't realize he had two goals in the Premier League before he joined Liverpool.
Yeah.
So he's at 52 career Premier League goals or goals for an English club, but
the Egyptian king.
Yeah, he is. He is fantastic, and all the big guys for Liverpool got involved yesterday, and I hope it carries over to their match.
There was a good tweet or Instagram post from Lovren, because Salah took his shirt off when he scored, and then Lovren posted a shirtless picture of him next to it, and he was like, "Hey, you weren't supposed to post your picture of your 3% body fat until I got mine through." It was pretty funny. I know they're kind of buddies. They have a little comedy thing going on.
I think
over
it's hard to not love Salah and Lovren.
I agree with 100%.
Lovren is great because his trash talk is phenomenal.
Yeah. Salah to me is just, and there was something somebody said about something religious basis or something that they didn't like him for. I didn't quite understand it. So
he refused to shake hands with Israeli players.
Yeah. It was something like that. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was something. But then somebody else explained it and gave a pretty good rationale for it. So I don't have enough insight into it to dislike him for that. But to me, he's just such like a carefree, like happy dude.
Well, yeah, and he had an issue with the Egyptian Federation because they made him go, and I think they made him go to, is it Dagestan?
I'm not sure.
They made him go to Chechnya during the World Cup, and he didn't want to go because it was a political stunt, and he didn't want to be involved in it. So I don't know. I have to really look into that story. But the other game yesterday, and I think it came as a shock to all of us, was Dortmund just blasting Atletico. Granted, the game was in Germany.
Yeah.
But you never expect Atletico to lose 4-0 to anybody.
And everyone kept posting. It's one of those where if you talk about something enough, the opposite happens. Mm-hmm. Kept talking about Jan Oblak being this, he's the master of the clean sheet. He has more clean sheets than goals allowed. And then gets four hung on him by Dortmund.
They're really playing well, Dortmund. They're leading in Germany. They have undefeated in the Champions League.
They have a new phenom there, Jadon Sancho.
He scored yesterday.
Yeah, he scored yesterday, so...
And they have, obviously, Pulisic.
Yeah.
But the guy I like, and I don't think I don't know if he played yesterday or not. He didn't score.
Is Pulisic playing again?
Mm-hmm. He played yesterday.
Good.
Yeah, he did
play. I think
play.
He had a shot off the post or a shot that was close to going in.
Tom Delaney, the Danish guy who actually has an American father, he played. Marco Reus, Mario Götze. I'm looking to see if
I wish they still had. They had Bashwile on loan last year.
No,
I'll be down for that.
And Paco Alcacer did not play for Dortmund yesterday, so they had him on the bench. He didn't even make the subs. But I mean, he's been playing well for them too. So Dortmund right now, I don't know if they're a dark horse to win this thing, but I think they are.
I wonder what their odds were to start the season.
Yeah,
and they're relatively young too, which is a nice thing. I mean, they are really. They haven't allowed a goal in the Champions League.
It's going to be interesting to see. Obviously, we're projecting long-term rather than just the tournament. It's going to be interesting to see how long they keep those guys or if it becomes a
fire sale to Munich.
Yeah, fire sale to Munich. Or
I don't know. I think they're going to see that this is their chance because of the fact that they are beating Bayern in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, Bayern's down.
If you have any chance to win that league, now is the year.
Oh, I'm talking about even years out because I don't think they'll sell Pulisic or Sancho soon. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if a couple years down the road.
And I don't see Pulisic being a Bayern guy.
No, I think the thing with him was always Premier League.
Yeah,
and there's always been the talk of Liverpool.
Yeah,
because
I'll be down with that.
Please no.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I'd be down because they play attacking.
Yeah,
soccer.
he would fit so
anywhere
well.
Anywhere but United.
Yeah, I just don't want him on Liverpool.
Well, United with Jose, I think that's probably the way to look at it.
Yeah.
All right, let's quickly look at the Premier League before we get out of here. Other football podcasts: Chris Chapman, Thomas Viola, Carson Merck, and it was an interesting week. I thought in the Premier League, first time back, but I just want to talk about Arsenal. They have.
I thought you were going to talk about Newcastle. So we will
get to Newcastle too, but
Arsenal looks good. Unai Emery, we said at the beginning of the season he needed a little bit of time to get that squad clicking, and oh boy, are they!
But the week started with some fireworks. United, Chelsea. I did not get up at 4:30 a.m. to watch that. Thought United was going to pull the upset.
Yeah,
Chelsea ends up getting, and I think it was Martin Tyler who was trying to basically say, "Oh well, United's okay because." Liverpool drew at Stamford Bridge, and Chelsea and United's winning, and then of course Chelsea ties the game, and it ends that way. But the fireworks come after that match, though.
That was outstanding.
With Jose, the assistant coach for Chelsea, he got up, celebrated in front of Jose. Basically, he kind of did like the old Degeneration X.
Yeah.
Mourinho did not take too kindly, and I saw this a still photo of Mourinho. And what was so great about it was the fact that. He had that face as if there was a stripper who was on stage and she had just like thrown up all over him because the look on his face was like,
disgust.
It was, what is going on? But Spurs, they beat West Ham, their rivals, 1-0. I didn't think there was anything exciting in that match.
No.
Cardiff.
Yeah.
Explodes for four goals against Fulham. Watford beat Wolves, and you know we were just praising Wolves about how great they were playing.
I picked Watford,
and then Watford comes back, and they get I kind of like Watford, the Sir Elton Johns.
Yeah,
City, no problem with Burnley. Liverpool, I thought they struggled against Huddersfield. Huddersfield played well. Liverpool did not.
Rare occurrence.
Yeah, but well, they had to try to keep up with Cardiff, who blasted Fulham 4-2. Everton gets by Palace, no problem there. Did Zaha play for Palace?
Yeah.
Well, so much for that, right? But I want to talk about Newcastle.
I was going to say we're running out of matches not to talk about Newcastle.
Well, nobody cares about Bournemouth and Soton. That's a trash match, right? But
yeah.
I hate
you
to say
you guys have 2 points?
Yeah.
That's bad times, man.
It's bad times.
What is going on? I was just like, let me check the table real quick. And I see Huddersfield with 3. And I'm like, wait, they're not the last team.
No, here we are.
I think I'm not going on any stretch here. Newcastle's going down.
Think so?
There are some terrible teams.
They're bad. They can't score.
And Cardiff, they can't score.
Guys, if Fulham keeps playing as terribly as they're playing, Cardiff could stay up.
And that's just it. You look at the bottom three.
Can we relegate 4 teams?
Well, can we put Sotan in there as well? Let's just relegate 5. Well,
hey, Sotan has 6 points, which is 3 times Newcastle.
When I texted you guys, especially at the beginning of the season when they were playing like Man City and Chelsea and Arsenal, they were kind of sitting back and parking on the bus a little bit. So they would have these matches like one shot on goal and 20% possession. Against Brighton, they had like 70% possession, like 25 shots, and did not score. They have no striker right now. They have a couple guys playing well in the midfield and on the wing, but yeah, the nerves are getting closer, but I still think they're good enough defensively where they'll be able to somehow survive. I think they'll be able to either get a striker, or the guy they're counting on was Rondon, and he hasn't played.
You guys might want to try getting a win.
This is true. But yeah, you need a striker to get a win.
2 draws and 7 losses.
Yeah,
they've only scored 6 goals.
Yeah.
Look, granted, they've only conceded 14, which isn't bad when you look at what Fulham and Huddersfield have conceded. Yeah. But
it's bad times. They play Southampton this weekend too.
Look,
who's not great?
Neither is Brighton.
Yeah, hey, well, Brighton's at least respectable.
If Brighton beats Wolves this week and Everton beats United, Brighton and United will be tied at the middle of the table.
Nice. I like it.
I like the sounds of that. And Brighton did beat United.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
But I don't want to see Newcastle go down. But
no.
But Rafa's got to figure something out.
2 points.
Well, now they're
not
talking
enough
about him possibly getting canned.
Well, you can't can the guy. You haven't done anything to help him get better.
Yeah.
That True. Team's going down. I'm sorry, guys.
I just don't
They're
see
going
it.
Down.
There's nothing about that club that makes me say.
Not even John Joe Shelby, not even Voldemort.
maybe Alan Shearer can unretire it.
I texted someone. They were talking about one of my articles. I think somebody commented and said something about bringing in some striker. And I was like, Shearer? ? Maybe. Yeah.
Now, I know you guys were big on Fulham before the year started.
Yep. And
again, only 9 games in.
Whoops. Oopsies.
But they're not very good.
No.
Anytime
you get 4, you know, ran up on you by Cardiff.
Yeah, that's a big issue with your defense. If Cardiff puts up Cardiff had only scored 4 goals.
Guys, I think Cardiff is going to survive.
Cardiff doubled their goal total for the season against Fulham on Sunday. 9 games in.
Yeah.
They haven't even scored a goal a game. They're averaging less than a goal a game. So is Newcastle.
And they're currently out of the relegation zone because Huddersfield, Newcastle, and Fulham are terrible.
And Huddersfield, think about how bad Huddersfield is. They've got 3 points, which means they've got 3 draws. They're averaging half a goal, less than that. They've only scored 4 goals on the entire season.
Look, it was a miracle.
9 games in.
Not good.
It was a miracle they stayed up last year.
And it's even worse. Crystal Palace, they've only got 5 goals, and yet they're in 15th place.
It's going to be an interesting relegation fight this year, but interesting in the same way that this Miami-Houston game is probably terrible right now, but it's also probably close.
It is 14-10 in favor of the Houston Texans.
I did call that.
So I'm looking at the table, and I think we've got an interesting battle for the top 5 because I think Arsenal is going to make it interesting.
Yeah,
and you know the history of Arsenal and Spurs. Generally, Spurs does not finish ahead of Arsenal. In fact, anytime they do, they throw like a major party. But what's interesting to me is 6-10 because there is a European spot in there. You've got Bournemouth, who currently sits 6th, and they probably missed an opportunity against Southampton. They probably should have gotten points in that game. Watford, who just beat Wolves, they're in 7th, 16.
Look, I think
Neverton,
I think the way you have
Charleston.
To the way you have to look at it is this. I really do believe, and I'm not speaking as an Everton fan here, Bournemouth and Watford are going to regress to the mean.
I agree.
They had hot starts to the season, but it wasn't sustainable, and they're already sliding down the table. They're going to continue to do that. They'll go mid-table.
Yeah, they're fine. They're not going to get relegated.
The key fight that we're going to actually see is, can Everton outlast Manchester United for that sixth spot and knock Man U out of European competition?
That would be outstanding.
I think that's what's really interesting. I mean,
because I think the longer United stays in the Champions League, the longer Mourinho doesn't get fired, and the longer that they have the chance in the Premier League that Everton has the chance in the Premier League to knock them out.
And then we'll see what United did a couple years ago, where Mourinho basically conceded the top five spot, and I think they finished sixth. And then they went out and they won the UEFA Cup, and so they qualified for Champions League through that. That was for last season's Champions League, but top four or top five, I think I'm on board with you guys with Spurs fading.
Yeah, I don't think they have the horses for it.
Yeah,
you know, and City, Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal. I think that's going to be your top four.
But not only do they not have the horses for it, they don't have the financial resources to reload. Well,
and now they're having
they can't
problems.
Even buy any horses.
Well, and that's just it. They had to take another loan out for their stadium that still isn't finished. That they were supposed to move into a month ago.
Yeah. My prediction: they're going to end up playing in Las Vegas with the Raiders at Sam Boyd Stadium.
You know what's funny? My prediction: I think Spurs is going to finish seventh.
That would be something.
Yeah.
Because you can already see the signs that they're not there.
Yeah.
Kane hasn't been superhuman in any fashion.
Mm-hmm. This team is hitting that wall.
Yeah.
And they're going to continue to slide.
Now, let me ask you something. As we look at these top two, City, Liverpool, they both sit on 23 points, identical records. They drew when they play each other. What really leaps out at me is that you can combine both clubs together, and they're not conceding a goal a game between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Each of them have only allowed three goals. And the reality is, for Liverpool, you're going to have to finish ahead of City because you're not going to beat them on goal differential. It's not going to happen. They're already 10 goals ahead of Liverpool in the goal differential department. Liverpool's only scored 16 goals. I think a lot of people were expecting them to come out and just be what they were last year.
Yeah, they were expecting Salah to do that again. And I said at the beginning of the season, he's not going to.
The thing is, Salah's not playing bad.
No, but you a superhuman season like that isn't going to become the norm. You're going to regress a little. It doesn't mean you're bad.
But
it just
I still think he's on pace to probably score 24, 25 goals.
Yeah, he's going to have a good season, but it's not going to be the same as last year.
And the question is, how do people handle that? Do people say, oh, well, he stinks? Or are people going to say, you know what, that's what it is?
The hot take people of the world will say he stinks.
I think you're right. I think people will criticize him for not scoring 30 plus goals again. And
I think normal people won't criticize him for that. I think you'll have your Skip Bayless is the world to do it. But like the reality is, he's still playing in very good form. It's just you have a freak season like that, like Peyton Manning's 55 touchdown pass season, and then
the reality is, last year he scored a lot of goals where there was some luck involved, and this year the luck doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah,
but they're still in second,
and what makes it exciting, at least, is that we have an actual race.
Well, and what's more exciting for me as a Liverpool guy is, since the arrival of Virgil van Dijk, Liverpool's conceded less goals than any club in the Premier League, and they have more clean sheets than anybody. So you're back four. Through one guy, because the back four was always a concern with Liverpool. I'm going out on a limb here, but I think that Klopp knows exactly what he has, and I think he's not stressing and trying to put up all the goals so the team doesn't fade down the stretch. I think he knows that City's deeper, but I think he also knows, hey, as long as we're winning games, it doesn't matter how we win them.
Possible.
Here's the other thing, though. Chelsea and Arsenal are only 2 points back. That's just a win against each team away from being at the top of the table.
Yeah. It's good, you know, because I think...
The way Arsenal's playing, they could make a run at this.
I think you're right. I'm not going to count them out. I think Arsenal...
Same with Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea's in this as well.
Yeah.
And the key will be if other clubs can beat City. If Chelsea can beat City, if Arsenal can beat City, if United can beat City.
Yeah, Chelsea or Arsenal are going to have to beat them both.
Yeah, and that's just it. Otherwise, City will run away with it, because I do think, even though Liverpool has already beaten or drew with Chelsea, they get them at home, but that's not a gimme.
No, not at all.
And you needed a great goal by Danny Sturridge to get the draw. And we saw
that's
the dance.
That's my favorite part of the Liverpool season so far.
So, big games this week. Before we get out of here, Other Football Podcast, where can you catch us on Twitter?
At Other F-Ball Pod.
And, of course, you are at Carson A. Merck, at TV at Work, and at Magnum 702. I think there's some interesting games this week. Brighton and Wolves. Wolves lost last week.
I think there's some interesting games this week. Brighton and Wolves is your lead off.
Well, and that's just it,
though. He's done that a few times. He's like, I'll tell you the intriguing match. It's West Ham versus
I like the matchup of Brighton and Wolves.
Look, Nottingham Forest has a great game against Aston Villa this weekend.
Look, I didn't start with Fulham and Bournemouth. Nobody cares. I didn't start with
Southampton and
with
Newcastle.
Leicester and West Ham, although I'm intrigued by Leicester because of the constitution, James Maddison. He's on my fantasy team. Thank you very much.
Look, you want to look at the games this week? The only two headliners here.
Well, United, the Monday Everton afternoon game.
Yeah,
which I think City will win.
What day is that?
Monday afternoon.
City Tottenham versus City. City.
Yep. City and then Spurs. Sunday morning, Everton hosts. Or is it at Goodison or is it at Old Trafford?
Josie has to know if he's walking or not.
It is at Old Trafford. Yeah.
He'll walk.
I think you. As much as I want to see Everton win that game,
I think they're gonna.
I don't think they do.
I'll tell you.
I don't see Everton going into Old Trafford and walking out with 3 points.
Here's the reason I see them walking out with 3 points.
Richarlison?
Yes.
Yes, Richarlison.
But also, this team just had to play like Juventus midweek.
Chelsea last Saturday.
Yeah. Chelsea last Saturday. This team is coming off a couple gritty games, and you know that Mourinho is freaking out there in the locker room. I think Everton has a chance to put this one over on him.
I feel like
because I think that Everton's four games unbeaten now in a row.
I feel like
four wins in a row.
The top reasons we could have been like Dylan on the Chappelle Show and the band top five reasons: Richarlison.
Not Mickey Free from
Spit Hot Fire.
Prince's band, The Revolution.
Cack a ball, man.
Mickey Free.
All right, hang on. I'm curious. What the odds are.
I'm taking Everton.
No, I'm not doing it. I think United gets the I think United will beat Everton because it's Everton.
This is very true.
Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong, Everton. Please.
Do it, Everton. Do it. Richarlison, do it.
Knock United down a couple more pegs, please.
I'll even put them out of the race. I'll predict a Theo Walcott goal as well.
Wow.
I'll put that on wax.
Put it on wax.
Okay, so the odds aren't out yet. It's still off the board for the Saturday. Yeah, for the Sunday games.
Lucky. They're lucky.
Yeah. I want to know what those odds are.
Liverpool hosts Cardiff. The reemerged Cardiff City.
Yeah. I think it's back to
reality for Cardiff.
I would say so.
Really? Now that they don't have to play they don't get to play Newcastle every week?
No, it was Fulham that they blasted, not Newcastle.
Oh, yeah.
They drew no score with Newcastle, right? That was a 0-0 game. Newcastle and Cardiff.
0-0 or 1-1.
Wow, that must have been exciting.
Such an intriguing game.
Newcastle had like a 92nd-minute penalty, and Kennedy boned it.
Oh, God. It's unreal. So, back to reality for Cardiff. Are we all in agreement Liverpool takes care of Cardiff?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's one I'm not worried about. Liverpool is not dropping points here.
I want to talk about Brighton and Wolves, though.
No.
Brighton,
no one
12th,
else wants to talk
Wolves
about this
9th,
game.
A win by Wolves, they move into that area. Watford, of course, is a tough one.
Watford plays Huddersfield.
They lost to Watford.
Yeah. Fighting Elton Johns.
Bad. That's not
I'll
bad.
I'll pick Wolves.
Oh, yeah, I'll pick Wolves in that game.
I'm going Brighton. I think Brighton beats Wolves.
All right.
The game, I think, is actually at Wolves at Falmer Stadium.
It's better than Amex for Brighton.
No. You know what?
Is it at the Amex?
No, it is. They changed it. Falmer Stadium, known for sponsorship purposes as the American Express Community Stadium, or colloquially known as
the Amex.
So the game is at Brighton.
Still sticking with the Wolves.
Brighton's gonna take care of business.
No, they're not.
We won't talk about some of the other...
Oh, thank God.
No. There's no reason to discuss Burnley and Chelsea, right?
One thing I want to bring up...
Palace and Arsenal?
Before we go...
Yeah.
One thing I want to bring up on this side of the pond, MLS Decision Day this weekend.
That is true. Yeah, absolutely.
The GOAT, Chris Wondolowski,
oh boy,
at the beginning of the season, was asked his thoughts on Zlatan Ibrahimovic's arrival in LA, and he said, "I think it's great. I'm happy for them. I hope he helps them finish in seventh." Currently, LA Galaxy on pace to finish seventh and miss out on a playoff spot.
If they win, they're in.
They are?
Yeah, if they win, they're in straight up.
Who are they playing?
That I don't know. Maybe the Dynamo?
Let me look
and
see.
Oh, crap.
I think we're Dynamo fan.
I am, but somebody mentioned something about Houston in relation to that match. I don't know if it's Houston or not.
Their next match is Houston Dynamo on Sunday.
Sorry. Well, we might not be able to help you there.
Fun while it lasted.
Yeah, it should be fun. That day is actually fun because it's just tons of matches back to back.
I remember I was at. Well, it's not back to back. They're all at the same time.
Oh yeah, because they don't want people to tank.
Yeah, and I was actually at the Earthquakes Minnesota game last year. RIP Ben Goetz, where with. 2 minutes into stoppage time, we brought on Marco Arena, needing a goal to beat Minnesota and go to the playoffs. And we bring in Arena, and I turn to my friend, and we both go, "Oh my God, we missed the playoffs because we couldn't beat Minnesota." And then Arena scores the tap in at the last second. We're right in front of the goal, like 3 feet away. We go berserk. We're going, "I'm sorry for all the terrible things I ever said about you, Mr. Arena. Even though you did sink the United States with those two goals for Costa Rica."
Well, I'm looking at, like, Wondolowski's comments are funny, though they're kind of true, but, like, the Earthquakes are a dumpster fire. Like,
they're in 12th place.
It's like, easy to throw shots.
No. We are in the last place. Like, not even 12th. We are the worst team in the league, conference.
It's easy to talk a lot of trash.
Orlando City allowed the most goals ever in MLS history.
Yeah, which was described as not a good thing. Not great.
Not great, Bob.
Even they are seven points ahead of San Jose.
Oh, we are trash. But here's the thing. Wando sits two goals away from breaking Landon Donovan's all-time
I hope he retires short of it. I'll be honest with you.
Well, you know what?
I hope he doesn't break it this year because
then he won't come back.
He's coming back no matter what. He will always be remembered as missing that goal against Belgium.
Shut up.
Yeah, 100%.
Shut up.
Yeah, look,
shut up. I know you're a Wando fanboy,
but you know, you have to look at the reality.
At the end of the day, when he retires, the Golden Boot in the MLS is going to be the Chris Wondolowski Golden Boot. He's the most prolific scorer in the history of the league.
Never happened.
It is happening.
No.
It's happening.
You can't do that.
He's the most prolific scorer in the history
of the league. But he's not.
He's had more consecutive double-digit goal seasons than any other player.
That doesn't matter though.
But he's not considered like. When people talk about great scorers, they don't talk about him being the greatest player in MLS history. No.
He's just a guy who. He's the greatest goal scorer in MLS.
No, you know what he is?
He's a guy who stuck around long enough to compile a lot of stats.
No,
I agree.
It's not a Brett Favre situation.
Brett Favre was a great player, though.
Again, this guy has double-digit goals every season for the last, like, 10 years.
Like I said, he's a stat compiler.
Yeah.
He scores goals.
Look, there's no one that's like, man, I'm really terrified of going against Chris Wondolowski this week.
He might score a 93rd minute tap-in. That absolutely happens.
No, teams, when they go to Ovi, when they play the Earthquakes, when there's, like, a free kick in the box or something, outside the box or something, they're looking to make sure they know where Wando is.
Well, because he's their only good player. What do you mean?
He's close to their only good player.
He is literally their only good player.
But he is legitimately a great player in that league.
I don't know, man.
I hope he doesn't break the goal-scoring record this season, because next season the Quakes have a chance to actually do something now with Almeida at the helm.
So he has 144 career goals, right? Landon Donovan has 145.
Yep.
Who are you naming the Golden Boot after?
Landon Donovan. That's the MVP, though, isn't it? I think it's the Landon Donovan MVP.
Yeah, it's the Landon Donovan MVP.
Here's my question to you, though, TV at work. With Almeida coming in, what if Almeida's like, "No, I don't want Wondolowski"? If he's like, "Cut him."
Nah, that won't happen.
What if he did?
There's a 0% chance.
Which team are you on in that breakup? Are you Team Wando? You can't be.
I'm Team Wando.
Are you really?
Yeah.
If Almeida comes in, he's like, "Hey, I can get a better striker. I don't want Wondolowski."
First off, that dude has given everything to this team.
That's fair.
He is the leader of this team, and you'd lose the locker room immediately.
Would he really, though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're keeping any of the old players, you lose that locker room immediately.
I'm not sure if you do, though. Because okay, so hypothetically, Joseph Martinez wants to go to the Earthquakes. Like, Wando, you're going to start Wando over Joseph Martinez?
Wando didn't even start every game this season.
As he shouldn't. He's just an old white guy that scores from time to time.
Here's the thing. If you're going to name the award after anybody, I think you go with a guy who scored a lot of goals. And look, Wondolowski has played 326 games in MLS.
A lot of games.
I mean, that's a lot. But you look at a guy like Bradley Wright Phillips.
BWP.
He only played 170, and he's got 106 goals.
Yes.
Wondolowski's got 144 in almost double the games.
How many golden boots does he have? That would be an intriguing stat.
Taylor Twellman, 174 games, 101 goals.
Because I think if Wando never won a golden boot, or if he only won like one or two, that's bad. Like if he played all these games and only won one or two.
2010 and 2012.
So he hasn't won a golden boot in 6 years?
Compiler.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you on this. I think Thomas is going to throat punch both of us after the show for this.
He is the Craig Biggio.
Yes.
Of yes. MLS goal scorer.
Greatest comparison ever. He is Craig Biggio. He
has 8 straight double-digit seasons, and if he scores once this weekend, he's got 9 straight double-digit goal seasons.
That's just he's
been around
player.
A long time.
He scored 27 goals in 2012.
That was 6 years ago.
Like the dude is proving himself.
Who was a single season record holder?
Joseph Martinez.
Yeah.
By a lot. What did he score? This year. However many goals he has this year is the record.
All right. So there's a guy you named the Golden Boot after.
I'm down.
You don't give it after an average player who compiled stats and missed the goal in the biggest game of his career.
I think Thomas has PTSD from that.
That's the worst. Every San Jose fan absolutely hates that because of that moment. That's all he'll be remembered as when he deserves to be remembered for so much more.
Exactly what he should be remembered for.
No, he's not wrong. Joseph Martinez has 30 goals this season, by the way.
And that's a record.
Yeah.
So not by a lot, but because you said Wando had 27 6 years ago.
I'm trying to see what Joseph Martinez has in the year and a half he's been – or the 2 years he's been in MLS.
Like that is what Wando's known for.
Yeah, this is true. Like, Bill Buckner was a pretty dang good player.
Yeah, yeah. By the way,
Jason Williams is also a pretty good player, and he, you know, shot his
October 25th.
Shotgun.
October 25th, that's today. Happy Bill Buckner Day.
There's a big difference between shooting somebody and missing a goal.
I'm just saying.
Hold up.
Robbie Keane played 125 games. He scored 83 goals in 125 games.
This is the stat right here. Joseph Martinez, 53 games played, 49 goals scored.
Yeah, he's averaging almost a goal a game.
And then there's Wando.
Joseph Martinez isn't going to stay in this league.
Maybe
Wando is averaging, I can't do the math. He's got 144 goals in 326 games.
Not good.
But you know what? Donovan's pretty similar. He's got 340 games. He only scored 145.
True, but I think Donovan is...
Donovan's a more impactful player. He's iconic. Every award the MLS has should be named after Donovan. Best goalkeeper, Landon Donovan Award. Rookie of the Year, Landon Donovan.
I wonder who the best goalkeeper award is after. If not, should it be like Miola?
Tim Howard?
Not a bad idea.
Because I think for MLS, because it is an American league.
You want to align with the...
I think you include the iconic U.S. national team players.
Not a bad idea.
The Tab Ramos Award. The Alexi Lalas Award for best hair.
The Michael Bradley for the opposite. Michael Bradley Award for the baldest player in the league.
Yeah.
He would win every year.
You know what? No, I'm not going to say this. I'm going to wait and say this off air.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's that bad that I'm censoring myself.
Let's not go there. Yeah, you should restrain yourself.
Looking forward to it.
We'd like to be a family program here. I don't know where you're going, but we'd like to be a family program.
Well, hurry up and end the show because I'm about to say it.
All right. Well, I can end it right now. we can bounce out of here. It is the Other Football Podcast. Chris Chapman here with Carson Merck, Thomas Viola.
A testy Thomas Viola, too.
Who is butthurt about the fact that Wondolowski is... Known for missing the goal against Belgium that would have drawn
It's what the fans call a sitter.
nowadays.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. Listen, no.
No.
That ball was bouncing back up.
No.
That was a difficult shot.
You know, remember Latrell Sprewell?
Yeah, he choked B.J. Carlesimo.
Well.
Allegedly.
Well.
I hate you both. End the show.
All right, we will talk to you next week. Other football podcasts, Chris Chapman, Carson Merck, Thomas Viola. Have a great week, everybody. Looking forward to more talk about the other football.
Liverpool loses 5-0 this
weekend.
Wait,
say that again. You hope Liverpool. Listen to this. Listen
to the mic was cut.
Listen to the abuse we have to put up with.
I hope Mo Salah gets Sergio Ramos again.
Oh, that's horrible.
You're a monster.
That's awful. All right, we'll talk to you next week without Thomas, probably.